Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Book of Galatians, chapter 2. We started, I'm going to pick it up in verse 16 because we started this last week dealing with the doctrine of justification. What is it? Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I gave the analogy last week of someone who commits a crime. If they're found guilty of that crime, they have to receive the punishment. If someone injures or kills someone, takes someone's life, and that someone was trying to do them harm, the law says that their killing or their harming of that person was justified under the law. In other words, it was a just act. It had to be done. It was right. It was the right thing to do. So that was according to the law. In the doctrine of justification, you and I have done things that we should not have done, that God told us not to do. In order for us to receive the blessing of everlasting life, the eternal inheritance with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ, something has to be done with our transgressions. We can't just say, God, won't you forget about that? Come on, okay? It's no big deal, right? I did good things. You can't be justified by your works. No man can be justified, especially by the works of the law. People say, well, I never committed adultery. I never did this. I never did that. Yeah, but you did this. You didn't do that. Those were all violations of the law. God said you're guilty. You're guilty just like everybody else is. There's only two types of people in the world, innocent and guilty. You're guilty. You broke the law. James said, if a man offends the law at one point, he is guilty of all. He broke the law. And so how can we have everlasting life? It is by justification. It is because of what Jesus did. He was nailed on the cross. A substitute was in your place receiving your death penalty. A substitute was in your place. That's the important part right there. You are now, by faith in God's way of justification, you are now justified and stand before God as if you had never sin. All right? I don't get over that. I don't get over God's idea of justification because He has taken us who have sinned and He's put us in the column of no sin, pure righteousness. How do we get that? By faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, there are people, I've been in church a long time. I've hung around church people practically all of my life, and I can tell you, there are people out there who, rather than admit that there are church people out there, there are church people out there who, rather than admitting that they sinned and did something wrong, they justify their own wickedness. I worked with a man years ago that was married. He had several children. Him and his wife were attending a church. He got into adultery with someone in the church. And he was explaining it to me, and he was trying to sell it to me so that I would go along with it, because he knew that I was, at that time, I was a young pastor. And he was trying to sell it to me like, I think God wanted us to be together. I think she's my soulmate. I don't think my wife and I should have ever gotten married. And so I think it's right and holy that I leave my wife and go spend time with this other woman. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The man was committing adultery and then trying to convince me. Actually, he was trying to talk himself into it, wanted help from me. He wanted me to say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'd run off of this woman in a heartbeat and leave those kids and that wife. I wasn't going to say it. No way was I going to say that. I said, you're committing adultery. You want me to go along with it, and I can't do it. I don't think it changed his mind, though. But anyway, what he wanted to do was justify his own deeds. Now, let me tell you something. It is in our evil nature to either say that what we did, I don't think it was wrong. I think at the time, under the circumstances, it was right for me to be in bed with this other person. It was right for me to lie. It was right for me to take this extra money that they gave me at McDonald's when they gave me the change. They gave me $20 too much. I think it was okay to take that. We justify our own wickedness. And I'm going to tell you something. If you justify it, God won't. Because if you won't repent of things that you did wrong, God will not forgive. The Bible's very clear on that. You cannot self-justify your own wickedness. Let me put it this way. You cannot go out, sin all you want to. And because somebody told you, oh, you're still saved. You can go out and be a lesbian. Go ahead. It's no big deal. That is self-justification. And by the way, that's tempting God. You're telling God, God, I want to live like an absolute dog, and I'm going to force you to save me and take me to heaven. That's tempting God. I won't do it. I won't touch it. No way, no how. But they justify their own actions based upon, well, it felt right at the time, or in this particular circumstance, I'm sure God wouldn't understand. And if you justify your own wickedness, God won't. Here's another form of justification. It's when people compare what they did with people who did what they think is worse. Okay? Guy is having an affair on his wife. He's committing adultery. Okay? But his next door neighbor guy is molesting children. So the adultery guy says, well, I never did anything like that. That's bad. That's evil. But then he justifies his own adultery. It's like the guy who drinks alcohol. But he compares himself, and he gets drunk every night, but he stays at home. He compares himself to the guy who gets drunk at the bar and tries to drive home and has a wreck. Well, I never drink and drive. I tell you that right now. I drink responsibly. Okay? He's justifying his own wickedness based upon what he thinks somebody else did that's worse. Let me show you that. Proverbs 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they are abomination to the Lord. There is always going to be somebody among your friends list that is going to tell you that what you did was right. There's always going to, and I don't care what it is. On your Facebook friends list, you're going to come out with some kind of, I don't know, tirade against your wife, your husband. You're going to admit that you've got eyes on somebody else or whatever. And there's always going to be somebody on your friends list saying, oh, you go, girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd leave that gal in a heartbeat. Always going to be that. And we look for that. We look for people to justify what we did. Had another guy that was going around. He had got in church, him and his wife, and was trying to leave the old life, but it crept back in slowly. And he started asking around, is it okay to drink as long as it's in moderation? He brought that up in a Sunday school class one time. I believe it's okay you do anything as long as you do it in moderation. I knew what that was. He was going around to people, looking for people to tell him that it was, in fact, okay for him to drink alcohol as long as he did it in moderation. No, that's not what the Bible says at all. At all. And that's what we do. We compare ourselves with other people. We get our friends list of people who will justify our wickedness and say, oh, what you did was okay. That's fine. And we run with that. God says that it's abomination. Jeremiah 3:11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel had justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Here again. Judah went way far beyond what the rest of Israel did, the 10 tribes. And so the 10 tribes then said, well, look at them. They did far worse than I did. I must be right. It is so wicked. And let me tell you something. Every time a church person gets caught with some grievous sin, or gets caught in a lie or whatever. The lost man always justifies himself by comparing himself to the reprobate or the wicked church member. Well, if that's how church members are, I'm glad I ain't one of them. And he swells up with pride, thinking, that's why I don't go to church right there. Too many hypocrites. I deal fairly with people. I do this and I do that. They justify themselves based upon our stupidity. We give them cause for it. Ezekiel 16:51. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Here again, he's comparing Jerusalem to Samaria. And he said, Samaria, which was the capital of the 10 northern tribes, hasn't done half of what you did. And now Samaria thinks that they're okay and right with God because there's somebody worse than them. And we do that. Well, at least I'm not doing this, and at least I'm not part of that. That is self-justification. And if you justify yourself, God has no part with you. Isn't it easy? It's better. Let me just tell you, it's better to confess your ugly, dirty, nasty sins to God. He already knows about them. To come clean with Him, to admit that what you did was wrong and wicked, even though your flesh loved it, to admit that what you did was wrong and wicked, and you know it grieved God at His heart. And you want God's forgiveness. You want God's mercy. Because self-justification people, they don't want mercy. They don't want forgiveness. They, in their minds, have convinced themselves, I don't need to apologize. I don't think I did anything wrong. Okay? That's how they talk. That's what they say. They justify themselves, and they don't want anybody's forgiveness. They are not going to apologize, even though what they did was wrong. Our only justification comes in the Lord. Isaiah 45:25, and the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. My glorying is never in what I've done, what I do, what I don't do, what I quit doing. I don't glory in that. I don't glory and boast about my lifestyle, about how holy it is and how better it is than anybody else, and I don't watch this TV show and I don't listen to that music and I don't do this and I don't do that. Churches are full of people like that. There's no room for people like me anymore, or you, because I'm not going to glory in anything except the Lord. What you see in me and what you hear out of me is the Lord. It's not me. Trust me on this. It is not me. My glorying is only in what Christ has done in me and through me, and what He does today and what I believe He will do tomorrow. That's where the only glory goes, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Don't give me this nonsense that, well, you repented of the sin, you confessed it, then you went out and did it again. Well, God didn't forgive you. Nah. That's not what it says. Believe are justified from all things. All is all, and that's all is. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You hear that, you Hebrew roots people? You cannot be justified by the law of Moses. You can't be. Because while you say you keep one law, you break another. You cannot be justified. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And here he is, he's preaching to the Jews, and it was foretold that the Jews would not believe it, though a man preached it. They wasn't going to believe it. Most Jews justify themselves by a partial keeping of the law. We're still God's people. Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. That means He doesn't care if you're not Hebrew and don't know how to say Yehoshua right. He doesn't care. There's no respect of persons with God. God does not look at your face, listen to your speech. God is only interested in a broken and a contrite heart. One that is broken before God. One that is honest before God. God, I'm nothing. God, I'm wicked. My heart is messed up, God. I need help from heaven. God, if I'm ever to do anything for you, I need help from heaven. I need it from you or I can't do it. That's what God's interested in. He doesn't care who you are or what family line you come from. One of the dangers of growing up as a pastor's child is that there is a belief among them that because my daddy was great, I therefore must be great or greater. Okay? How many pastor's sons, big men like Jerry Falwell and Charles Stanley, have taken over in their father's footsteps or followed in their father's footsteps and gone downhill doctrinally? Andy Stanley, Jerry Falwell's son, taken off. Romans 2, I already read that. There's no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And everybody says, see, you do the law and you're justified. Yeah. The thing is, though, you don't. You don't do the law. While you commit an act of righteousness on the law on one point, you desecrate the law on another. Stop coveting. That's all you got to do. All you got to do. Stop lusting with your eyes. Stop coveting. Stop looking at other men or other women. Don't lust after anything your neighbor has, like his new car, his house. You stop that, maybe we'll talk about justification of the law. But I'm telling you, these eyes, they're wicked. Okay? They're full of evil. And they want things. They covet things that they see. God said, thou shalt not covet. That's part of the law. So the next time you're at your Passover Seder, and all these nice looking women are there, and you're sitting there patting yourself on the back, boasting on your Facebook page about all the glorious time we had at the Passover Seder. I was there honoring the Lord. Your heart was so full of lust, it's not even funny. And truth be told, some of those women probably were there too looking back. Anyway, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Christ is the only one. The only one. Period. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Your conscience always tells the tale, doesn't it? This is why mommies know when their kids are lying. Eyes are going all over the place. Okay? They're writing stories. They're making fairy tales up. They're telling stuff that isn't true. And mommies know how to read their little boys and little girls. And mommy knows when they're lying because their conscience knows what happened, but they don't want to tell it. So they invent something. And the eyes just go everywhere, looking. Let's make this story right here. Okay? That's your conscience bearing witness against you. It's written, everybody knows it's wrong to steal. You need 10 commandments. The 10 commandments are written in our, encoded in our genetics. In one helical turn, I don't have my DNA here. In one helical turn of DNA, there are 10 base pairs stranded together. Okay? That's a picture of the law, the 10 commandments written in our hearts. It's encoded in our DNA that we know that stealing and adultery and lying and killing someone unjustly is murder, is wrong. We know those things. But we break them anyway, okay? We know what the speed limit is on the road that we live in, but we break it anyway. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Who is it that's not guilty before God? No one except Christ. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The speed limit sign only tells you what the law is, and some of them even tell you what's going to happen to you when you break certain speed limit rules. I like that, okay? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. All the speed limit sign tells you is that if you go past this, that's wrong. It doesn't keep you from going past it. You have to make that decision. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets foretold at this time. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile and how they're saved. It's by grace, through belief, through faith, that not of ourselves. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Since Christ now is the one who is just, he then can justify those who are lost, who are sinners. Those who come to him and confess and repent and weep and say, God, I need salvation. God justifies them freely. Doesn't care who they are, what family line they're from. You know how brothers stick together, right? Brothers will stick together and lie for one another and say, he didn't do that. He was with me the other day. That's what brothers will do. They'll justify one another. Christ will say to his Father, Father, I have forgiven their sins. They confess to me, I have forgiven their sins. Their sins are no more. They are justified. Put their sins on me. I'll bear the cost of it. Man. Verse 27, where's boasting then? You've heard me say it. Any time. I can usually spot them pretty quickly, especially on social media. Any time I see people boasting about what they don't do, I see someone who thinks that because they don't do this, that God's going to give them extra blessings, or that because they do this, God's going to give them extra blessings. I'm here to tell you. The greatest things that God has ever given to me, one of them today, about the lungs, okay, and what they're a symbol of, I just went, it's unreal. I didn't deserve that. I didn't merit that with God. I didn't say, God, now I've been good for 3 days straight. Give me a reward. I don't talk to God that way. I can't. I'm just all telling God, God, you don't have to give me anything. But I'm pleading for your mercy. I'm pleading for your grace. And I'm asking you, God, show me great and mighty things that I know not. And God is so faithful. He always does. When I wrote my very first book, by divine order, I read through the first draft of it, and I was stunned at how quickly all that information came. I mean, boom, 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 there it was. And I was writing it down, I was taking notes as fast as I could. And I got done with that first draft, I read it, and I wept. And I said, God, why'd you show me all this? And the Holy Spirit said, because you asked me to. And I remembered a year before that, I prayed a prayer one time. God, show me a code or patterns in the King James Bible. I think they're there. Show them to me. I prayed it one time. And a year later, God showed it to me. And I can tell you, in that year's time, I didn't work up to it. I didn't earn it. God wasn't waiting for me to achieve results. God just gave it to me. There it is. Run with that. That's how it works, people. And anybody, you see these people boasting about what they do or don't do anymore? I guarantee you, they have a belief that at least partially they are justified by their own goodness, and that God will give them blessings. Most of your word faith doctrines are based upon Old Testament scriptures where God commanded absolute perfection and strict obedience before he would give blessings. And he did that to show them, if I give you blessings, I didn't give it to you because you did things good. I gave it to you because I love you, not because you merited it. And that's what a lot of word faith charismatic witchcraft is based on. If you perform just right, then God has to release this to you. Your problem is you cannot and you never will please God with anything you do in your flesh. Where is boasting then? Verse 27, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. See, here's the law of works, Old Testament. Here's the law of faith, New Testament. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it as one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I'm not here to tell anybody all the laws. You don't have to keep the law anymore. The law is no good. I'm not here to tell you that. I'm telling you that law is good. God's watching out for you, bro. God doesn't want you slipping around from bed to bed. God doesn't want you going around spreading lies everywhere, thinking you can get away with it. God doesn't want you killing people. God is watching out for you. He's on your side. He gave us good commandments. He did not tell us to go kill Christians and Jews in some holy war, and that would merit points with Allah. He didn't tell us that. He tells us clean things to do, righteous things to do, holy things to do. That's what he tells us. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This goes back before Abraham was ever Abraham. It was Abram. God told him, I'm going to give your seed all this land. Abraham had no children, but he believed God, and God imputed his righteousness to him, clothed him in his own righteousness and perfection. And now God sees Abraham as being 100% holy and clean. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's Psalm 32. God promises a blessing to those who have their sins covered and their iniquities forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He'll not lay it in your credit or your debit column. He will not tally up the bill and say, you owe me everlasting torture in hell forever in the lake of fire. He takes them. He will not impute the sin to us. He will impute nothing but Christ's righteousness to adorn us and cover us. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. When did God give Abraham the imputation of righteousness? Before he was circumcised or after he was? It was before. So keeping the law and being circumcised, that does not show now that you do righteous things. It just means that God has sealed you with his Holy Spirit of promise and has given you his righteousness and his forgiveness of your sins, his justification, not your own. Let's see here. I can run through this very quickly. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 16, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. How many offenses? All of them. Didn't matter. God didn't listen to me. God did not limit his mercy. He did not limit his grace. Over and over and over, you'll see, especially in the Psalms, his mercy endureth forever. God told David, Solomon, he said, Solomon, be my son, I'll be his father. If he commit iniquity, I'll chastise him. But my mercy will I not take from him. So how many sins does it take to get out of God's favor? How many will he forgive? Every one of them. Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Let me go to Galatians, and then we're going to look in James, because some people say, well, James not for us because it has works in it. We're going to reconcile this. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 24 of Galatians 3, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. A schoolmaster is mean and harsh and cruel and says, follow the rules or I'm going to beat you. And what God did was, God put us under condemnation to drive us to the cross, to get us to the cross. And once we're at the cross, we kneel at the cross. And that's where Christ's substitutionary atonement took place. And we believe and trust only in that for our salvation, not on our good works, not ever. Okay? Justified by faith. Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever ye are justified by the law, for ye are fallen from grace. That's what the Bible says. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, justified by God's grace. God's unmerited favor. Is God waiting for you to do one righteous deed so then, okay, you can do good. So I'll let you in. Okay, I saw that you can do good. I hope you'll do good from here on out. That's not how God saw it. God, while you were a sinner, had grace on you and justified you. Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. Now, some people have this idea. Well, it's got to be of works. You got to have works now. Works, you got to work. You're saying you don't have to work? And then others will say, well, James obviously is not for us, written for the Jews in the tribulation. They have to endure and do works for salvation, and we don't. Let me show you the key passage here in James 2, okay? The one that, to me, just makes all the sense in the world. I've said this before. You will always do what it is you believe in. You'll always do it. There's never been an atheist who willingly came to my church, paid tithes, said amen to all the good points of the message, and then went out still not believing in God. There's no atheist that pats me on the back and says, Mike, keep doing a good job. Boy, I tell you what, you and Bill Nye are to get together, I think you'd cream him. No atheist ever says that to me. They don't do that. You know why? They don't believe in it. Where's the atheist on Sunday morning? Not at church. Why? It's what they believe in. They don't believe in going to church. They don't believe in worshiping God. They don't believe in God. They do what they believe in. You always do. And the key here of James, he says, let me see if I can find it here. Verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Let's see here. I don't see it. He talks about here, he said, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you. Here we go. Okay. What does it profit? Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And here's what he's saying. You say you believe in God. Oh, you believe in God and Jesus Christ, and oh, you believe the Bible. You don't read it. You don't attend service. You don't listen to the Word of God preached. You do nothing that shows a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're lying through your teeth. You don't really believe that. You don't really believe the things that you say you believe. You're lying. Because the reason why I know you're lying is because you don't do the things that you say you believe in. You don't do anything. You go out and do everything else except live a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe he's the Savior, I believe he's the man, I believe the book. When you say all that stuff and I don't see the fruits in your life, I know that you're lying. I know that you're lying. You cannot say, I have faith, and then not have God doing through you and in you that faith. The reason why I come to church is because I believe in it. The reason why I read my Bible is because I believe that book. I don't read books that I don't believe, except for to study them out and find out what everybody's saying. But I don't do that stuff. You only do what you believe in. So he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Abraham, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Do you believe that I'll give you an heir through Isaac, even though I want you to offer him up? Yeah, God, I believe you. But he had to prove it. He had to prove it. Verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Because people lie. They say, oh, I've got faith. And there is no works to prove it. You show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. James 2:25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She had heard about their God. She had heard about what happened to Og and Sion, the king. She had heard those stories. And the two men, she came, she pulled them in and said, tell me what's going on. And they said, we're going to destroy this city. And she said, I don't want to die with everybody else. Fine. Here's what you'll do. If you'll hide us and keep us hid, then we promise we'll protect you. Put a scarlet cord outside your door, outside your window, so that we know that you're safe inside there and we are not going to kill you. I believe that. I trust in that. And they show up, there's no scarlet cord. Well, they're going to go in and kill her. She didn't show that she really believed what she said she believed. In the years in the ministry, I've dealt with people who told me on one day what I wanted to hear, what they thought I wanted to hear. Oh, I got saved. Oh, yeah, I asked Jesus into my heart. Listen, I want to see you Sunday morning. I want to see you there, okay? If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Oh, I'll be there. Oh, I'll be there. Oh, yeah, this house is going to be the rest of my life. I'm going to be there. Didn't show up. Hadn't seen them since. They didn't believe. They only told me what I wanted to hear. And people will do that, and you will do that. Don't you know that people can sit in church and say amen and lie through their teeth? Don't you know that people can say that they have faith and they don't? And so that's the deal with justification by works. You're not justified only by works. When you say you have faith and God knows that faith is real, then God will do those works through you and it will be manifested to everybody that you really believe in what you say you believe in. You actually live it and not just brag about it. And even lost people can tell the difference. They can. And that's another part of justifying yourself. Anyway, doctrine of justification. You don't deserve it. God gives it to you anyway. All right? That's how it is. It's how it works. In this lifetime, I'll never understand God's love toward me. Never will. But it's there. And I'm very glad for it. Okay? Hope this is a blessing to you. Won't you come join us for church Sunday? Either come here, let's meet, or just be with us online. Promise you'll have a good time. God's been just doing some good things in people's lives, and I want you to be part of it. All right? Hey, God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.